Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to be together and look at your word together. And we pray that you'd open our eyes and our hearts, our minds, that we would behold wonderful things from your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You're fired. There you go. Alan Sugar, well known for The Apprentice, the telly programme. But also, he used to fund one of our political parties. That is, until after the 2015 election, when he said to that political party, "You're fired," and stopped funding them. He felt apparently their ideas were negative towards business and entrepreneurs. He obviously thought that by funding a political party, he should get something back from them. And I always think that when people fund, you know, give large amounts of money to a political party, they obviously want something out of that. And you hear of a donation from a business person to something, and you think, what's the payback? Why do they do it? And today, in this passage, we're going to be thinking about giving, and particularly Christian giving. And the question is, what's in it for us? What's the payback for us? And really, that's the wrong way to think, of course. And what we're going to discover is that Christian giving... Just a minute. That's Christian giving is not there for payback, but it's to be willing, generous, and sacrificial. And in a sense, there's nothing in it for us, but in another sense, there is treasure in it for us. Well, here we are in the last bit of Philippians. We've seen loads of wonderful things about them through the passage, through the book. We've seen that they are to live lives worthy of the gospel, and we've seen that they are to have one mind and to be humble as they live together as believers in that good news of Jesus. And last week, we heard that Paul had received a gift from them. Look at verse 10. "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord, for at last you renewed your concern for me." That was the gift that came with Epaphroditus. And we've looked at that passage about him being content. And if you remember, we talked about having Jesus-tinted spectacles of salvation. You know, when we come across things in our lives that might make us discontent, we can look at our lives and say, hang on a minute, have I been saved by Jesus from my sin? Yes, he's died for me. Am I living now with a relationship with Jesus because of all he's done for me? Yes, I am. Is there a great future, a great treasure for me in the future with his eternal kingdom? Yes, there is. And those things put everything else into perspective. And now, as he goes on, he refers back to their giving and says more about it. And as he talks about it, we get to see what he wants the Philippians to think. And here it is. Here, this is the attitude he wants them to have, and therefore us to have as we read this. "I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work, because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work, because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need." So we're going to have a look at the passage and work that out from it. But before we do that, I just want us to dive into some some observations, really, from the passage. Some observations about being gospel partners through giving. Being gospel partners through giving. And that's what the passage is about, really. And the first thing to notice is that they are amazing at giving. The Philippian church, Christians living in Philippi who heard the gospel from Paul and turned to Jesus, they're amazing in their giving. I look at verse 15. I'll read it to you. "But moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only." So Paul didn't spend very long with the Philippians. He was kicked out after some troubles and riots and things. But that little fledgling church that he left, those little baby believers in Jesus, they realised very soon that they needed to help Paul. And so they sent money after him, even when he was in Thessalonica, verse 16, which wasn't far down the road. "Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." And now he's in prison, maybe in Rome, maybe a long way away, but, verse 18, "I've received full payment and more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." They're really good at giving. And their giving is generous, it's willing, It's sacrificial. So that's the first thing to notice. They're amazing at giving. Secondly, Paul thinks this is great. Paul really appreciates this. He approves of it. It's a good thing. Verse 14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Verse 17. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. So he wasn't so fussed about being financially secure himself. What he was bothered about was that actually this was a credit to them, what they were doing, their giving. And then verse 18, towards the end, he says about their gifts, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Yes, the Apostle Paul rates what they're doing. It's a good thing. And then Christ is all they need. So they're amazing at giving. Paul thinks this is great, but Christ is actually all they need. And he's at pains to point this out. He appreciates what they're doing. They're good at it. They're generous. And it's helped him. But Christ is sufficient. He's sufficient for Paul. With or without the giving. He's enough. And he's sufficient for them. Imagine that suddenly there was no electricity. And there was never going to be electricity ever again. Imagine that. All our iPads and Androids and phones would be useless. Our projectors, computers, absolute waste of time. Washing machines, cookers. We'd have to start thinking about things in another way and put those things in a different perspective. Strip away everything and think again. And when Paul found everything stripped away in his life, he discovered that Jesus was more important than anything. And we get to see in this passage his desires. Verse 17, not thy desire your gifts. No, he doesn't want money. He doesn't want to be comfortable even. He doesn't really bother about that. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. He wants to encourage them. He wants to see them growing in Christ. And so he says in verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Their needs are not going to be met with money, cash and that kind of thing. But their needs are going to be met from the treasures of Jesus. And he's going to meet all their needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. It's going to come from the gospel, their needs being met. So there's just a few things to notice as we begin. They're gospel partners through giving. Paul is doing the gospel in 1 Thessalonica and then up in Rome or wherever, and they're following him with their money, supporting him. They're amazing at that. He thinks it's great. But ultimately, Christ is all they need. So on to this great idea. And here's the first part of it. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. This is what Paul wants them to think, and us. I'll be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. Generous? The Philippians are generous, aren't they? So much so, Paul is embarrassed. Verse 18, I have received full payment and have more than enough. So they're generous. They're sacrificial. Verse 18 again, he carries on at the end. These gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. In fact, Paul wrote about them in another letter, and he described their giving when he was writing to the Corinthians. This is what he said. Writing to the Christians in Corinth, which is down further in the sort of Greek peninsula, I guess you call it. He says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches, in other words, Philippi. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. So he's speaking about the Philippians again, and this time I think he's speaking about their giving towards a campaign he was running to raise money for Christians in Judea, where there was a famine. Now, this sacrificial giving, they're in the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And there's no brick in a wall somewhere saying, the Philippians, for that. They didn't get any kind of recognition, a certificate, or a mention at the beginning of every service Paul ran. No, they just supported Paul's ministry. They supported his gospel work. They were generous and sacrificial. And what they were doing was supporting gospel work. Wherever Paul went, He went not to make tents, although he did that sometimes. He went to spread the news of Jesus so that other people could come to know Jesus and have his eternal life. And that's what the Philippians were interested in, making that happen, spreading the gospel. So what about us then, reading this passage? What gospel work can we support? Well, I think first of all, our local church. We do gospel work here at St. Lawrence. By supporting St. Lawrence, we support gospel work. Remember our mission statement? It's on our news sheet every week. We aim to bring glory to God by helping you to know Jesus and his love and salvation for yourself. Grow in Jesus and be transformed by his Spirit. And go to serve Christ locally, nationally and globally. These are gospel aims, good news of Jesus. People coming to know him, growing in him and spreading that. So when you give to St. Lawrence, you're a partner in the gospel. And then we can also give to mission partners. And this is a good thing for a local church to do, to have links outside our own area with people around the country and around the world who are also doing gospel work. And so we're linked with Tim Curtis in Paraguay, Matt and Katie Lindley down in Madagascar, Joe and Rachel Clark in Portugal, and Rosemary Haslam more locally in our own parish with London City Mission. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. And in fact, when you give to St. Lawrence, as you'll see if you look at that leaflet later on, the giving leaflet, we give about 10% of the money that we receive to our mission partners to support them. And we've been in touch with their agencies, and the agencies have told us the amount we're giving is a good amount. It's just right to help. So someone might say, well, what about giving to the donkey sanctuary? Isn't it good to help donkeys? And the answer is, well, it is good to care for animals, isn't it? They're part of God's creation. But isn't it more important to see people saved? Do you know, out there are lots of people who don't know Jesus giving to donkey sanctuaries. Let them do their donkey sanctuary work. Let people who trust in Christ give to gospel work. Yeah? Let's use our limited funds to help people to know Jesus. How much can we give? According to statistics, across the adult population, 55% of adults give to charity each month. And the average amount given is £10 a month. Would you call that generous and sacrificial? £10 a month? I wouldn't. We need to think carefully, don't we? It's something to make a wise and loving decision about, something to pray to God that he give us wisdom. Dear Lord, you know, please help me to have wisdom to know how much to give. And don't expect a voice in your ear, £50. That's not going to happen. We actually ultimately have to make a decision, a wise decision. We have to look at our income, look at what we have to spend money on, what we might have left, whether we can cut back on things and that kind of thing. In the Old Testament, God's people were asked to give a tithe, a tenth of what they received. But we know in the New Testament that Jesus frees us from the law, so that is not a demand on us anymore. Maybe it does give us an indication, a guide of where to start thinking, kind of level, but it's neither a ceiling nor a floor, so who knows what to do with that. But being generous and sacrificial is the call. And you think of the woman that Jesus saw at the temple, who put just a penny into the temple treasury. And he said that was generous and sacrificial, ultimately, didn't he? She gave half of what she had to support it, even though in human terms it didn't look like very much at all. So I'll be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. How can we give? Well, we have a box, so people can bring money to a service and put it in the box. But we do encourage people to plan the giving, so to look ahead and think how much we can give. Those are actually our bank details, and these days you can use a phone to go on your internet app and set up payments very easily via the internet. And that's the way we encourage people to give. And we've seen a great change in the way people give in St. Lawrence over the last year or so, with a big shift towards that kind of planned internet giving, which is really encouraging. And I encourage you to, you know, take this leaflet away and have a look at that at home and see if you're interested in giving to St. Lawrence how you can. So Paul's encouragement to the Philippians is an encouragement to us today to be giving, be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work. But that wasn't all he wanted the Philippians to think, was it here? Because he also wanted them to go away thinking, because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. This is both a motivation and a reward, isn't it? Look at verse 19. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Motivation and reward. This was something Paul already knew in his life. If you remember back to last week, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So Paul knew this in his own life, that Jesus Christ had all the treasure he needed. And we can know this too. Our most important needs are met by Jesus. Forgiveness, new life, a relationship with God, knowing him in our lives from day to day. And God will meet all our needs in these ways, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's the promise. Think of what Paul has longed for the Philippians through the letter, as we've been looking at it. Right back in the beginning, that they would stand firm for the gospel. That they would be united in the gospel of Jesus. That they would live lives that were worthy of that, so their lives would reflect the greatness of Jesus and what he's done. That they would think like Jesus, and his humility, how he left heaven and came to earth in humility, they'd think like that. They'd shine like stars in the universe they hold on to and hold out the word of life. Do you remember that? So all the way throughout, he's been encouraging them to rejoice. He'd love them to rejoice in Christ. And then chapter 4, not to be anxious. And Jesus can help them with all of these things. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. This is what he can do in them. This treasure that is theirs in Christ. That motivates them, because knowing all that, they will want to see people saved, and we will want to see people come to Christ. And also motivates them because with those things, you actually don't need wealth for those things. They're really cheap in a money sense. If you look in our this leaflet, there's a pie chart about what we spend money on. And there's a little section on the left-hand side in the middle in yellow. It says outreach and growth, £4,000. When you look at the figures, that's about 5% of what we spend money on. You think, oh, that's not very much. But here's the thing, it's incredibly cheap to do outreach and growth. Once you've got over paying for your vicars and that sort of thing. And all these great things in Christ aren't about money. So it motivates us because it frees up our money to be used for other things, if these are the important things in life. It's a motivation and a reward. There is a sense that there is a spiritual blessing in giving. And that the Philippians here are blessed by God because of their sacrificial generosity. So I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. Well, what's in it for me, we might say. If you give in a generous and willing and sacrificial way towards gospel work, what's in it for you? And the answer is, in a way, nothing. No brick with your name on it. No certificate. In fact, you'll have less because you'll have given some of your money away. I can guarantee that, actually. I can guarantee you'll have less. So what's in it for you? You will have less money. What else is in it for you? The treasure of being a gospel partner. A partner in that endeavour of sharing Jesus with people. I will be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work because Jesus Christ has all the treasure I need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you moved these young Christians to be so generous in all sorts of circumstances, so that your gospel was supported in that mission as Paul went out across the Mediterranean. And we thank you that you've enabled us as a church to support gospel ministry, both here in the things we do at St. Lawrence and with our mission partners across the world. Thank you for the joy of being partners with them. Thank you for the generosity of your people here at St. Lawrence that enables us to continue. And we pray that as we respond to this passage in our hearts, that we would be generous and sacrificial in giving to gospel work, because Jesus Christ has all the treasure we need. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.